In response to the sermon afterwards, we will sing number 64, all the verses. Beloved congregation, in the April 2015 issue of Table Talk magazine, there was an article entitled, "The Spirit Inside You." And the question was raised in that article, if you had the choice, would you rather have the Holy Spirit inside you or the Lord Jesus beside you? Just let that sink in for a moment. Children, you think about this too. Would you rather have the Holy Spirit inside you or Jesus Christ beside you, physically standing here? You know what the Lord Jesus said? We read it together in John 16, verse 7. He says, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." So Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit inside you is even better than Jesus beside you. On the day of Pentecost, we commemorate that Jesus brought forth the Christian church, as it were, by sending His Holy Spirit like a mighty rushing wind, so that the place where they were together was shaking. And as a result of all that power, those apostles went throughout the whole world, and people said of them, "These men have turned the world upside down." And that same Holy Spirit empowers all of Christian ministry today. It is that same Holy Spirit who gives His people the resurrection power over sin in their lives. That same Holy Spirit applies the promises and warnings of Holy Scripture to our hearts. That same Holy Spirit indwells His people, sanctifying us, conforming us to the image of Christ, God's Son. And remember that same Holy Spirit, dear believers, who is in us, is God. And that means God Himself is in us. It's an amazing thing, is it not? That God Himself would be willing to take up residence in sinful people. In the Heidelberg Catechism, we confess in Lord's Day 20 that the Holy Spirit is true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son, and that He is given to me. So the Holy Spirit is given as a free gift to God's people to make me, by a true faith, partaker of Christ and of all His benefits, and that He may comfort me and abide with me forever. That Holy Spirit, dear child of God, you have today. He is in you. And Jesus says that's much better than Jesus being beside you. I believe in the Holy Spirit, we confess this afternoon as we do every afternoon. Is that still your confession of faith too? In this way, that you believe that Holy Spirit is dwelling in you through faith. The faith that He Himself has worked in you by the hearing of the Word of God. And He's the one who regenerated you, caused you to come to life and made you a new creature, causing you to live a new life and freeing you from the bondage of sin and the freedom now to obey, the freedom to love the Lord your God in Christ Jesus. As we look at this text closely, we want to ask three questions of it. It's verses 12 through 15. Let me just read it to you once more, those verses there. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me. He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you." We want to ask here of this Holy Spirit who will guide you. whom will he guide? And secondly, where to will he guide? And then thirdly, how will he guide? The Spirit will guide you. Whom will he guide? Who is this text talking about? When it says, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And he will guide you into all truth. He will tell you things to come. He will declare it to you. Who is that you? To whom is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking here? Well, we know who it is not. He said in John 14, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. So it's not the world. Well, who then? Well, there in Jerusalem, in the upper room where Jesus spoke these words, were his 11 disciples. Judas has gone to betray him. The 11 are left there. And he says, I have many things to say to you. And you remember those disciples. What kind of men they were. Dedicated men, surely. But they had much to learn still. It is to Peter that the Lord Jesus says, I have many things to say to you. Peter, who said, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. He says it to Thomas. The Holy Spirit shall guide you, Thomas. Thomas, who had said to him in John 14, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus had to tell him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Thomas. He says this to Philip. Philip, to whom Jesus says, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and you still don't know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say then, show us the Father? Those kind of people. Hard learners. So the first reference is to his disciples, but also to his disciples of all times. That means to disciples here today, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says to you and me, I have still many things to say to you. You would think after 3 years of his teaching and of his preaching that the disciples would have heard it all. They would know all there is to know from Jesus. But no, says Jesus, I have many more things to say to you. And that's true for believers today too. Sometimes we think, I have learned so much. Oh, since I became a Christian, I've learned so much of grace and so much of sin and so much of the Lord Jesus. And yet the Lord Jesus has to come and say, I still have many more things to tell you. I have many more things to say to you. We don't learn everything in one day. That takes a lifetime to learn. But Jesus says to the disciples, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. If he would have told them everything all at once, they wouldn't have been able to bear the burden of it all. They couldn't endure it. There's still much for the Lord Jesus to say to them, and there's still much for the Lord Jesus to say to us. When they were ready, they would hear what Jesus still has to say. And when we are ready, dear believers, the Holy Spirit will teach us what we are still to learn through the Holy Word of God. We don't know everything. Isn't it true that it's mostly very gradual growth in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus says, I have many things to say to you still. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you. Yes, you, dear believers. Yes, you, disciples. He will be your guide, your guide in learning. That's what the word guide here means, to guide someone in their learning, to guide someone in acquiring more and more knowledge, to lead someone on to know more about a certain topic, about a certain subject. In this case, all the truth. So now we know whom He will guide. It is the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ of all time. not just of Bible times, but also of 2015 time, today time, this afternoon time. And where will He guide? That's important to know, isn't it? When you have a guide, you need to know, where is this guide taking me? Where will He guide? Some of you from this church have been to Israel on tours, and most likely you had a guide on that tour. And that guide knows his way around. He knows exactly where to take you, all the right spots to show you how to get into places, how to get out of places, who to talk to, exactly what to show you. Think of the Holy Spirit as a guide like that, except He's not just going to take you to one little country in the world, not just to a few little places, but He says the Holy Spirit will guide you into all the truth. All the truth. And that means that those disciples did not yet have all the truth. And it means that we do not yet have all the truth. Into all the truth means the complete truth, the full truth, the absolute truth. And this guide is the perfect guide to do it, because He's called the Spirit of Truth. In John 14, verse 17, the Spirit of Truth, says Jesus, dwells in you and shall be in you. In John 15, verse 26, the Spirit of Truth shall testify of me, says Jesus. In our text, the Spirit of Truth shall guide you, shall guide believers into all the truth. He shall testify of me, says Jesus. That means that guiding someone into all the truth means that you're going to guide that person directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will guide you into all the truth. He did that for His disciples. He does it for His disciples today, even to the point that those such disciples are able to tell other people too. The Holy Spirit has guided me to the Lord Jesus Christ in the truth of the whole Word of God. First, on the day of Pentecost, He came and He filled His disciples, and you could see the transformation in those men. Think of Peter, who only recently has denied his Lord and Savior three times. Here, on the day of Pentecost, he is boldly preaching Christ Jesus. Think of Philip, the one to whom Jesus says, "Have I been so long time with you, and have you not known me, Philip?" You find that same Philip in the book of Acts, after the Holy Spirit is poured out on him, that he opens his mouth and begins at the prophet Isaiah to preach Jesus Christ to the eunuch out in the desert. That's the difference that Holy Spirit made. He's guiding them into all the truth. And those disciples and many of the apostles are led by the Holy Spirit to write the Holy Scriptures. These are the holy men of God who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In the Belgic Confession in Article 3, we confess that afterwards God, from a special care which He has for us in our salvation, commanded His servants, the prophets and the apostles, to commit His revealed word to writing. And we have that writing in our Bibles. And when the Holy Spirit guides us today, He always does that through the Word of God. Whether it is in your reading, your private reading at home in the Bible, whether it is through the preaching of the Word, He guides you into all the truth. Jesus said to His Father in His heavenly prayer, in His high priestly prayer, "Thy Word is truth." And the Holy Spirit always guides you in that truth to the one person, the only person who could ever say of Himself, "I am the truth." And you know who that was, children? Who said that in the Bible? "I am the way, the life, and the truth." You remember? That's Jesus. So when it says, "The Holy Spirit shall guide you into all the truth," that's what it means. He shall guide you to the Lord Jesus. "He shall not speak of His own authority," says Jesus. "He shall not speak of Himself." As the Holy Spirit guides the Lord's the Lord's people. He doesn't speak about Himself. He doesn't come and put Himself in the forefront. He purposely hides Himself. I know there are some people, maybe in this church too, who want to hear all the time of the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers, how He works, how He converts, how He convicts. Every sermon, they say, has to deal with the work of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus says the Holy Spirit's not going to speak of Himself. He's not going to come and tell you about Himself. He's not going to come and draw attention to Himself. Biblical sermons do not draw attention to the Holy Spirit because He does not. He draws attention to all the truth, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever He shall hear, that shall He speak. We read it in John 15 and 16 that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, and His whole work is to guide believers, not to Himself, but into all the truth. He's not going to bring a different message than the Father and the Son have. It'll be the same message that the Father proclaims. What did the Father say? He said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the Spirit says, "This is God's beloved Son in whom He is well pleased. He will tell you things to come," says Jesus. And He did that too, didn't He? Didn't He tell His disciples of things to come that would come in the future? And He tells us the things to come. Things that are still to happen in the future. We have it all recorded in Holy Scripture for us too. Especially think of that glorious day when Christ Jesus shall return on the clouds of heaven to take His people home to Himself, to be with Him forevermore, to be rid of sin forever, and to be in the presence of God and to serve Him and glorify Him and sanctify Him and exalt Him and honor Him and praise Him perfectly forevermore, uninterruptedly. Whom will He guide? Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And where will He guide you? Into all the truth. And how does He do that? How will He guide you into all the truth? That's our third question. How will the Holy Spirit guide you? Jesus says, here's how He does that. He shall glorify Me. That's, according to Jesus, is how the Holy Spirit guides His people into all the truth. He shall glorify Me. And to glorify somebody means to praise, to exalt, to honor that person, to clothe that person in splendor. He shall glorify Me. Me He shall glorify, is how it is in Greek. The emphasis is on the Me in that sentence. He shall praise Me. Me He shall honor. Me He shall exalt. Me He shall clothe with splendor. And remember who's teaching this. Who's teaching us this afternoon about the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Lord Jesus Himself. And He says, here's how He guides you into all truth. He shall glorify Me. No one else but Me. The whole life of Jesus, you see in Scripture, is to glorify God the Father. And in the same time, God the Father is glorifying God the Son. John 8, verse 54, "It is My Father who honors Me." In John 13, verse 31, Jesus says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him." He prays in John 17, in the prayer, "I glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may also glorify Thee. I have glorified Thee on this earth," He said. And in John 14, verse 13, "The Father may be glorified in the Son." And that glorifying of the Son of God is brought about by His healings and His miracles that we read throughout Scripture. Think of John 11, verse 14. It says, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." That glorifying of the Lord Jesus is brought about through His own people. He says in John 17, verse 10, I am glorified in my people. In our text, the glorifying of the Son of God is brought about by the Holy Spirit of truth. And it's always about the glory of Jesus. That Spirit glorifies the Son of God through the Scriptures, and then He applies those Scriptures to the hearts of believers. Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. The mystery of godliness, says Paul, is that God is received up into glory. The one grand theme of all of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is all the glorifying of God, the glorifying of the Lord Jesus. Let me just give you a few little examples here. Acts 7, verse 55, when Stephen, you remember Stephen is being stoned to death, and as he is dying, it says, being full of the Holy Spirit, he looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. At the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in Bethlehem, the heavenly choir comes to sing, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The writer to Hebrews says of Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Paul says that the Jews crucified the Lord of glory. James calls him our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, prophesying of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, says, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And Paul writes to Titus that the church today is looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. John wrote, we beheld His glory, that is, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And Jesus manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. You see, this glory of God and the glory of Jesus, that's what's central to all of Scripture. And that, dear believers, ought to be the goal. That ought to be central to our lives. The glory of the Lord God. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. As He guides you into all the truth, He is glorifying me, says Jesus. And He does that objectively in the Word of God as your guide into all the truth. The Holy Spirit has a gigantic spotlight. And He shines that spotlight on one person. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is in the spotlight here. The Spirit illumines Him. And then He illumines the understanding of His disciples that they may see Him. He opens our eyes, the eyes of our faith, and the ears of our faith, that we see and hear and behold the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. He does that by bringing believers to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and bringing them to a believing confession of that same Jesus. Oh, the church of all ages worships the Savior, the only begotten Son of God. That's the glory of the grace of Jesus. That's the glory of the love of Jesus. The glory of His wisdom. The glory of all His benefits of which He makes His children partakers. Jesus says, He shall receive of what is mine and declare it unto you. He glorifies me by taking what is mine and declaring it to you. That's how He guides you into all the truth. All the saving realities found in the Lord Jesus Christ, He receives, He takes, and reports it to you. All the things of Christ, all what will glorify the Lord Jesus, and all of Scripture serves to that end, the glory of Jesus Christ. All things that the Father has are mine, says Jesus. Whatever is the Father's is mine. And the Spirit declares it to you. So whatever He shall hear, in verse 13, whatever He shall receive of mine, verse 14, whatever the Father has, and you can sum all of that up into this little phrase, all the truth. The Father has it, the Son owns it, The Holy Spirit takes it and declares it to you. So this blessed Holy Trinity is at work in guiding God's people into all the truth. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He said in John 17, the glory that thou gavest to me, I have given to my disciples, that they may be one, even as we are one. Then he says this marvelous statement in John 14, verse 20, I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So you think of the Holy Spirit who indwells you. And here, according to Jesus, Jesus indwells you. And so does the Father. I am in my Father, and you are in me. And I am in you. The triune God lives in His people. Not just for His people, not just with His people, but in His people. And He wants you to know that, dear believer. That's why it says, He shall take of mine and show it, declare it to you. He shall glorify me. It doesn't say, He shall take of yours and show it to Jesus. That's not what it says. It also doesn't say, He shall take of yours and show it to you, declare it to you. That's what we want to do so often. Wouldn't speak this out loud, but secretly in our hearts, we want to try to do the Holy Spirit's work in reverse. And we want to declare to the Lord our accomplishments, even if they are by grace. We want to declare it to the Lord Jesus. Isn't it true? When we have repented of some sin, we want to come and declare it to the Lord Jesus. See, Lord Jesus, how my life is improved in this area. I don't do that sin anymore. I don't do it anymore, and I'm sincere. I don't want to do it anymore. See how serious I've become about that? See how sorry I am for my sins? I even weep tears. I cried out loud. And yet I did it again. I wept until I couldn't cry anymore. I cried, see? And I want to declare it to the Lord. I want to tell Him all about me. My prayers too. See, I've been praying. Oh, I know they're not perfect prayers. Far from it. But they sure do to have all the elements of true prayer. Adoration and confession and thanksgiving and supplication and praying in Jesus' name and coming to prayer meetings and praying for my family and with my family. And I want to tell the Lord Jesus all these things about me. And I want to show Him my good works, how good they are. My church attendance, that I never miss a worship service, even during the week. I give faithfully to the collections and I stand up for Scripture. And I help out at the church. And I strive to raise a godly family. And I speak to my neighbors. And I'm involved in Christian organizations. And I want to declare this to the Lord. Now, I want Him to notice something about me too. I want to make a long list to declare to Jesus the evidences of grace in my heart. I want to show Him how badly I deserve to stay saved. Don't you ever do that? I don't think I'm the only one. Why is it that we're so anxious to show the Lord, to declare to the Lord our things? It's because secretly we rest in those things. We trust in those things. But Jesus never said, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth and will take of your work and show it to Jesus. He's going to declare all about Jesus to you. He's not going to show His work to you either. The Holy Spirit's work, I mean. Some people do this all the time. They want to look back over their lives. And they want to see how much growth there is in grace. They want to look back over all their Christian experiences, the times when they were so under conviction of sin, the time where they came to a saving knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to see the times and the places where there's real evidence of living in gratitude for such great deliverance. And you know what the focus is? Me. And what's happened to me. And what I'm doing. But the focus, says Jesus, is not on you. It's not even on the Holy Spirit and His work in you. It is on me, says Jesus. He shall glorify me. Listen again to verse 14 and 15. He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, He will take of mine and declare it to you. So all the focus of the Holy Spirit's work is on the Lord Jesus Christ. So true Christian experience is that the Holy Spirit comes and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ for you in the Word of God and in you. And the evidence of your true Christianity and true spiritual life is your knowledge of Jesus Christ and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The evidence of your Christianity is your estimation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not your tears, not your works, not your prayers. The tears that are important are the tears of Jesus. Jesus wept. And in weeping, He sanctifies and purifies all your tears. Not your works, but His. The Holy Spirit says, Jesus says, I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And that perfect work purifies and sanctifies all your work. It's His work that is in focus. His prayers too. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for all those who come to God by Him. So the main question, as the Holy Spirit does His work of guiding you into all the truth and glorifying Jesus and taking the things that are Jesus and declaring it to you, the main question becomes, what do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Not what do you think of the Holy Spirit? Not what do you think of yourself and the Holy Spirit's work in you, but what do you think of Jesus Christ? John 5, verse 39, Jesus said, you search the Scriptures. They testify of me. Romans 10, 17, Paul writes, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you can add to that, as the Holy Spirit guides His people into all the truth. In Lord's Day 7, question and answer 20, what is true faith? The answer is this, it is a certain knowledge and an assured confidence that the Holy Spirit works by the gospel in my heart, and remission of sins and everlasting righteousness and salvation are freely given to me only for the sake of Christ's merits. Always and again, Jesus is glorified. The Spirit of truth shall guide you into all the truth. Me He shall glorify, says Jesus. John 18, verse 37. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that hears the truth hears my voice. When the Holy Spirit comes, guides you into all the truth, you don't hear His voice, but you hear the voice of Jesus, says. That's what He says. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. The voice of Jesus Christ, the glorious, gracious voice of Jesus Christ, presented to you through the preaching of the Word, and the Holy Spirit guides you into Him. So as the Holy Spirit works through the preaching of the Word of God, that preaching must be Christ-centered. Because Jesus Himself is speaking. And who is it that hears the voice of Jesus? It's everyone that is of the truth, He says. Meaning everyone who is led into all the truth by the Holy Spirit. And where do you hear that truth? As Reformed people, we confess in the Belgian Confession, Article 29, that the first of the three marks by which the true church is known is if the pure doctrine of the gospel is proclaimed therein. The Holy Spirit does His work of guiding His people into all the truth in the place where the pure doctrine of the gospel is preached, where the Word of God is proclaimed soundly, purely. That means in this place. In this place. That's why the Apostle Paul calls the church in 1 Timothy 3:15 the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Oh, how blessed we are. How blessed we are that we may gather together on a Lord's Day afternoon to be, as it were, in the workshop of the Holy Spirit. This is where He does that work. This is where He does that guiding His people into all the truth. See how absolutely necessary it is for us that the Holy Spirit guides us. Even though He doesn't want to draw attention to Himself, we need Him to guide us. We cannot know the Lord Jesus Christ unless He declares Him to us, and He does it through the Word of God. And yet not all people are of the truth. Perhaps also here this afternoon, there are people to whom this is all strange. Strangers to Jesus Christ. Strangers to grace. And you're wondering, well, if it's so absolutely necessary for the Holy Spirit to do that work, how can I get that Holy Spirit? How can I get Him? You know something? He is yours for the asking. He's yours for the asking. Those aren't my words. Let me read to you the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 11, verses 11 to 13. And children, you need to listen carefully to this, and fathers too. The Lord Jesus is speaking to fathers. He says there, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you, who is a father, will he give him a stone?" Children, if you ask your father for some bread, you're hungry, will your father give you a stone, a rock? And the obvious answer is, well, no, of course not. My dad would give me something to eat if I'm hungry. Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent, a poisonous snake, instead of a piece of fish to eat? And the obvious answer is, well, no, of course he wouldn't. Well, then says Jesus, what about if you shall ask him for an egg? If you love eggs, say, may I please have an egg? Will he give him a scorpion? One of those poisonous little beasts that will sting you? And the obvious answer is, of course not. No father would do such a thing. And then Jesus says in Luke 11, verse 13, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" See, those weren't my words, that He's yours for the asking. Those are the words of Jesus Christ Himself. I'll repeat it once more. Jesus says, "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" So how can you receive this Holy Spirit? Ask Him. And Jesus says, ask and you shall receive. And when you receive this Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all the truth. Meaning He will guide you to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And you, dear believers, who are being led into all the truth, and it's going to take the rest of your lifetime here and then all of eternity to learn it all. Is it not true that you need the Lord Jesus Christ more today than you did last year? As the Holy Spirit guides you into all the truth and shows you more and more of the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and how suitable a Savior He is for you and how desirable He is, doesn't the Lord Jesus then become more and more necessary for you and more precious to you? That you have to repeat with John the Baptizer, He must increase and I must decrease. Is your love for the Lord Jesus Christ growing? If it is, that's a result of the Holy Spirit guiding you into all the truth. Guiding you to the Lord Jesus Christ. I will close this afternoon with the final words of the second epistle of Peter. 2 Peter 3 verse 18. But you, he says, grow in the grace and in the knowledge. That always goes together. The grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen.